Mama's boy. Whoa now. I'm a what?
Rhett, she said patiently. You have the word mum tattooed on your hand?
He grinned and ran that hand through his hair. Yeah, well, you don't have any questionable tattoos? No, of course you don't.
I don't like pain, remember?
And you don't make fucked up decisions like me. When she twisted her head to frown up at him, he winked and kissed her cheek. It didn't change the frown.
You don't make messed up decisions, she told him sternly.
Claw, we just went over this. He waggled his tattooed fingers and raised his eyebrows.
When she laughed, the sudden tightness in his chest faded. He was all light again.
Okay, now it's my turn. What do I want to ask? He murmured thoughtfully, as if he wasn't fucking bursting with questions about this woman, as if he couldn't spend hours lost in a Chloe rabbit hole of wondering. Since we're talking about awkward childhood moments, when was your first kiss?
She laughed. Who says I was a child? Maybe my first kiss was at 20.
Was it?
No.
Her voice was bright and glittering now. He could hear her smile even if he couldn't see it, his gaze too busy alternating between Marshmallow Watch and the electric soft texture of her hair. Then her head dropped back against his shoulder, and he got a front seat view of her carefree smile and the sparkle in her eyes.
Everything turned button pink, like Cupid had just shot him in the arse. I was 16, at a house party with one of my friends. We played truth or dare, and someone was dared to kiss me. It went quite well, I suppose, because I spent the rest of the night with my tongue down his throat.
See, this is where I'm going wrong. I've got you answering questions when I should have been offering dares.
She slapped his thigh. You don't need to dare me to kiss you.
Well, in that case,
he murmured. He put his hand on her belly, for no reason other than he liked its warmth and its curve, and the fact that it was Chloe. He bent his head, brushed his lips over her cheek, and the feel of her was like the sweetest possible punch to the gut. This was all it took. One taste, and his hard-on was probably jabbing her lower back. But she didn't seem to mind, because she tangled her fingers in his hair, yanked him closer, and pressed her lips to his. For precious, perfect seconds, her tongue slid, tentative but demanding, into his mouth. Everything was as intense as her midnight eyes, delicious as her thighs, urgent as the way he needed her. Then she pulled away and said, "My turn." Slightly dazed, he murmured, right, yeah.
"Do you like your website?" He blinked, then burst out laughing. "What do you mean, do I like it? Didn't you see my 70 fucking texts?"
She'd sent him a link to preview the current design just yesterday, during their day-long virtual conversation, and even though there was apparently still technical shit for her to do, he thought everything looked perfect. Just perfect. So much so that if he thought about it for too long, his chest got tight, and all his hope and gratitude made a lump of not-so-impossible dreams in his throat.
"There weren't 70 texts," she said. "More like 5. But I knew you'd hate to hurt my feelings, and texts are easy to lie over, so, hey."
He held her tight, gathering her closer against his chest, nudging her chin until she met his gaze.
"I don't lie to you, okay? I just don't."
She rolled her lips inward, but that couldn't hide her smile.
"Okay? I love it."
"Okay. Can I ask another question?" He arched an eyebrow.
"I thought we were taking turns."
Her expression turned pensive.
"Maybe this question isn't part of the game. I wanted to know..."
She seemed to gather up her courage in a single breath.
"I wanted to know what happened to you in London. What happened to your career?"
"Ah." He looked up at the canopy of trees and the night being born above them, stars glowing into view like 1,000 bright white candles.
"Marshmallows burning," she said softly.
"Oh, shit." He came back down to earth, yanked the latest marshmallow out of the fire and stared at the smouldering blob. It's fine, I'll still eat it. Will you answer me? You don't have to. But he would, because he loved her. The thought froze him for a second, before he sank into it like a feather bed, before it became the comfort that helped him figure out how to speak. He loved Chloe. He loved Chloe like a blank canvas and a finished piece, and all the exhilarating, painful stop-and-start moments in between. He loved Chloe like tearing through the night on his triumph, feeling alive in motion when he couldn't feel alive inside. He loved Chloe like every glare she shot him was a kiss, and every kiss she gave him was a breadcrumb-sized piece of her heart in his hands. He pushed the length of her braid aside and kissed the back of her neck, soft and vulnerable. The last time he'd put his mouth on her, all of 5 minutes ago, he hadn't known he was in love. He wondered if she'd feel the difference. Probably not, because he had a feeling he'd been kissing her with love for a while, even if he hadn't noticed until now. "Red," she murmured, regret chiming sharp because she thought she'd hurt him. "It's fine," he said. "It's fine." And it was. If he ripped off the bandage like a big boy, it would be done, and he'd be able to enjoy the fact that she'd asked, that she'd wanted to know about the hidden parts of him, the parts that didn't help anyone or make people smile, the parts that weren't fit for exhibition. "I went to London because I thought I had to. I spent years there trying to break into a world that wasn't exactly welcoming. I worked as a labourer to support myself, and at night I'd run around crashing galleries and handing out my card, which was actually made of paper because..." He laughed, because this was funny, though at the time he'd been embarrassed. "Because I made them myself on the library computer, you know, using Word, and I'd print 8 on a page, then cut them out." He shook his head. "I never could wrap my head around online networking, but it would have made life a lot easier."
"You are a technophobe," she said triumphantly. "I knew it."
"Maybe," he admitted. "Maybe just a little bit."
"Well, you're lucky you have me to keep your website updated," she said smugly. And he was struck by happiness, like a bolt of lightning, because he was pretty sure, pretty fucking sure, that she didn't just mean that in an "I look after all my clients long-term" sort of way. His mind focused on 3 words, blew them up, and made them flash 1,000 different colours. "You have me." Did she know that she had him too, no matter what? She was skittish about things like this. If he told her just how much feeling burned inside his chest, it might freak her out. He'd have to show her first, get her used to the idea. He wanted to squeeze her to him and tell her that she had him and that she could drag him along on all her wild schemes forever and ever, amen. Instead, he kissed her temple and went on with the story. "My old-fashioned ways did work, in the end, or at least I thought they did. One night, I met a woman on her way out of some glamorous party. Her name was Pippa. She wanted to look at my stuff. I asked where she worked, and she laughed and told me she didn't work. But I let her look anyway because she was confident, and I was desperate." He felt Chloe tense, as if she was worried about what came next. God, he wanted to kiss her again. But it was too easy to hide in the comfort she offered, so he squashed the urge and kept talking. "Long story short, me and her got together. Turned out her dad was an art dealer, and he liked my stuff. She took me places, and instead of sneering at me or throwing me out, people listened when I talked. I finally started making money, enough that I could quit labouring and focus on my work. Everything was great. Everything was perfect. Except Pippa. She was... well, she was abusive." Chloe twisted round to look at him. "What?"
"She was abusive," he said simply. "Not that I realised at the time. I thought she was just bratty. I mean, she was so little. It's not like it hurt when she hit me. And when she treated me like shit or fucked with my head, somehow she always managed to convince me it was just a disagreement and I was being sensitive. But after a while, that got old. I remember she tried to stop me going home to see Mum. I used to visit once a month, then once a fortnight when I got more money. I brought Pippa once, but oh, Mum didn't like her. Understatement of the fucking century. She told me Pippa wasn't treating me right. Hearing it from someone else made it easier to hold on to. And then when Pippa tried to stop me visiting again, I started to realise what was going on. Maybe it would have taken me longer to leave her, only she got pissed and stabbed me with a fork.
She did what?
Chloe thundered, and he realised he'd never seen her angry before. She was angry now. She scrambled onto her knees and looked down at him like an avenging god. Her voice came out like thick, choking smoke just before a volcanic eruption.
What the fuck?
He held up his right hand and wondered if she'd see the four tiny scars under his knuckles. Lucky I'm a lefty. She grabbed the hand and studied it for a second before pressing a kiss to the marks.
Wow. Wow. So this is what murderous intent feels like.
He smiled despite himself. It's fine. I'm over it. Healed fast.
You might be over it, but it is not fine.
The words were sharp, but her voice cracked and her breath hitched.
Hey, no, Chloe.
Heartbreaking. He cupped her face, met her shining eyes.
Don't cry, love. It's okay.
It most certainly is not. It is not. You're not. You can't even talk about London and...
That's not why I don't talk about London,
he said. She blinked up at him.
What?
I mean, the whole relationship was a fucking nightmare. And I'm still...
He grimaced.
Well, you know. But I haven't finished.
She looked horrified.
What else happened?
Sit down. And I'll tell you.
Slowly, reluctantly, she turned and sat again. Back where she belonged, in his arms. He kissed the top of her head and kept going.
So, I broke up with Pippa and kind of lost it.
She told me.
Well, she told me I was nothing without her anyway, and she'd been slumming it and blah, blah, blah. She said that her dad had only promoted my work because I was with her, and that people only bought it because she'd made me someone. I think she said she created a cultural moment around me. She was always saying shit like that.
Chloe's hand came to rest over his, and the soft, warm pressure jolted him out of the cold, hard place his words had dragged him into. He blinked at the realization that he'd been drifting away as he spoke. Back into years of imposter syndrome and paranoia and constant toxic whispers chipping away at him. Grateful for the touch, he squeezed her hand. She squeezed back. He cleared his throat and said,
I think the success coming all at once after so many years of trying so hard, it fucked with my head. I didn't think I deserved anything, so I believed her. I yanked my work from just about everywhere. Shut down the website and social media I'd finally gotten set up. I cut off from the friends I'd made in the art world, before and after her. Anyone, everyone. Like Joni, like Julian. I burned bridges and disappeared in a blaze of glory. Of course, it didn't feel so glorious when I finally stepped back enough to realise what I'd done, but it was too late. I almost got somewhere, and then I took myself back to square one. And when I thought about trying to fix it, I just... froze. I spent over a year frozen.
He shrugged.
Bad choices and fucked up decisions. That's me.
She stiffened. You were hurt and you reacted. You were in an unhealthy situation in more ways than one and you panicked and cleansed everything with fire. Don't dismiss your emotions and your self-protection as just a fucked up decision. Don't reduce something so complex and real and important to nothing. That sudden, unexpected stream of words was delivered with Chloe's typical crisp precision and calm certainty, as if she couldn't possibly be wrong. Maybe that was why the words didn't feel wrong. They weren't what he'd believed for so long, and yet, somehow they sounded just right. Like he was only human, and his mistakes could be excused. Like a few fuck-ups didn't make him a fuck-up. Like maybe he should forgive himself for everything, and maybe he should trust himself again. He'd really like to trust himself again. "Have you ever had any therapy?" she asked. He cleared his throat, tried to focus on the conversation instead of his tangled thoughts. "I just started, actually."
"Good. Gigi says therapy is the most important medical service there is."
"Really?" he asked dryly. "So it's just fuck antibiotics, huh?"
"I didn't say she was right, or wrong for that matter."
Chloe wriggled around until their eyes met, her hands rising to his shoulders.
"I'm just emphasizing its importance. Now, here are some more things I'd like to emphasize."
She leaned closer until their noses touched.
"First of all, that fucker did not make you. She spotted you before anyone else, which was smart. And she sank her fangs into all your loveliness like a leech, which was disgusting. Second, I know you regret leaving everything behind, but that doesn't mean it was wrong, and that doesn't mean it can't be fixed. You can fix it. You will."
The way she said it, the sentiment came out as strong and natural as the forest around them. She stared at him so hard he was surprised she hadn't burned through her glasses. She seemed to think she could get the message into his skull through sheer force of will, and her will was pretty impressive. He cleared his throat, tried to sound unaffected, and missed the mark.
"Anything else?"
Her expression became gentle, almost tender.
"So much else. You always say such lovely things to me, Red. Do you say them to yourself?"
"No."
No, he didn't. It had never occurred to him that he should. Not until recently.
"I'll say them," she murmured. "I'll tell you how incredibly clever you are, and how you're funny and kind and sweet and a damn good artist. I don't understand how things work in creative circles, and I don't know how much Pippa actually did."
She screwed up her face and spat out the name like it tasted nasty, which he enjoyed way more than he should have. "But no matter what she did or did not do for your career, no one can change the fact that you're talented, you're skilled, you're good."
He hadn't been sure about that for a long, long time. But things had changed these last weeks. He'd known they were changing. And now, when she said that out loud, and he believed her without question, he realized things really had changed. It was done. Something in him had been knocked loose back then. But somehow, it had clicked back into place without him looking. He was good. His grin started in his toes. It was a warmth that rushed through every inch of him, a warmth he wanted to share with her because it was pure, and so was she. He couldn't think of anything to say, of a way to explain what he felt right now, how free he was all of a sudden. So he showed her. He sank his fingers into her hair, pulled her closer, and kissed her. She came to him so easily, like she knew this was where she belonged and how they should be, the two of them, kissing in the cold, their bodies creating more heat between them than the fire just a few feet away. Above them, the sky had long since tumbled into star-spotted night, and below them, the earth was fresh and real, like the way Chloe made him feel. Her cool hands pressed against his flushed cheeks, and her lush mouth joined with his, and he loved her so much, his heart felt too big for his body. So this was bone-deep contentment. He'd almost forgotten, for a while.
Chapter 20. Around Red, Chloe tended to talk a lot, But there was something about this kiss, this hungry, hopeful, heart-filled kiss, that pushed her gently into silence, like sliding underwater and blocking out all sounds from the outside world. He surrounded her now. He held her tight. Even when their lips parted, when his hands left hers so he could put out the fire, when he unzipped the tent flap and sat back on his knees so she could crawl in first, he was still holding her somehow, deep inside, in a way that soothed her. So she didn't speak. She couldn't. She was drowning in long coming lust, and soon she'd be under him. Lord, she couldn't wait to be under him. Red crawled in after her, zipped up the tent's flap, and they were plunged into an odd, almost darkness that seemed otherworldly. She could make out the vague shape of him, those broad shoulders and the fall of his hair, unmistakable even as shadowy outlines, and she had the oddest, deliciously heavy feeling that he was looking right at her. But the feeling faded as he turned away, fiddling with something she couldn't see. After a moment, she heard a click, and then there was light. Chloe blinked as her eyes adjusted, then gawked as reality filtered in. Somehow, he'd wreathed strings of fairy lights all around the tent, glowing pinpricks that illuminated the small mountain of blankets and cushions. She stared, awed. Oh, my goodness. This is what you were messing around with earlier?
When you were shouting at me to hurry up and feed you?
Yeah. He winked. Honestly, the things I put up with. Her heart was a burning, brilliant thing lodged against her ribs. Red, why did you do all this?
For you,
he said, as though it was obvious.
It's always for you.
Camping had been on her list, because it seemed gritty and normal and slightly scary, and more than a bit of a challenge. But truthfully, she'd barely wanted to do it. Now, in this moment, she realized just how magical Red had made it, not only by arranging everything, by making her laugh all day, by remembering her limitations so she didn't have to constantly point them out, but with things like this, things like the marshmallows, the extra effort he put in to make this a wonderful experience instead of a checked box. She looked up at him, his hair gleaming like silken flames, his beautiful face still flushed, and his lower lip caught between his teeth. And she realized that his sharp eyes studied her with something like trepidation, as if he was nervous, as if he wanted to know that she liked it. How could he doubt that she loved it? How could he doubt that she loved him? That she wanted him and trusted him and hungered to do everything with him just for the joy of experiencing his reactions? She was in love with Redford Morgan, and quite horribly too. It smacked her over the head so hard, she felt dizzy. She should be afraid, should want to hide it. But the knowledge lit her up until she felt just like the fairy lights, and hiding that would be something close to a sin. But the feeling had come on too fast, surely, for him to feel the same. So she wouldn't blurt it out yet. Instead, she told him, "I adore you." And it was truer than her heartbeat. He smiled, his worry easing an instant as he crawled toward her, his proximity shrinking the already cramped space.
Oh, do you?
She couldn't believe she said something so emotional, so honest, but she also didn't want to take it back. She'd started all of this in order to be brave, and now, for the first time in a long time, she felt it. If she were to die tomorrow, she wouldn't have regrets anymore. I do. I really, really do.
You're not so bad yourself, Button.
He pushed her back against the cushions, and she laughed as she bounced a little on the blow-up mattress. But the laughter faded in her throat when Red lowered his body over hers, pressing her firmly into the blankets, grounding her and whipping her into a frenzy all at once. Her lips and her legs parted on a gasp. He kissed her jaw and whispered against her skin.
So, you gonna let me slide inside that pretty pussy tonight, Chloe?
Yes, she breathed, trying to arch up against him. But she couldn't, because there was no space between them in the first place. The hard planes of his body forced intimately against hers, her legs wrapping around his waist as if they were puzzle pieces slotted perfectly together. Good. He kissed, then licked, then sucked the base of her throat. She shivered at the hot, wet love, at the lust it stirred between her thighs, and wondered if he could tell her pulse was racing. He must be able to hear the way her breath sped up and grew ragged, must feel her hips trying their best to rock against his. Her clit was already swollen and needy and desperate for a little more pressure, for sweet friction. He didn't provide it. Instead, both of his hands found both of hers, and he twined their fingers together. Through their clothes she could feel his hard cock wedged tight against her cleft, and yet all he did was hold her hands. Red, she whispered. He kissed her cheek, her temple, her nose. Chloe. Not to ruin this very romantic moment, but would you possibly consider fucking me now? His laughter rumbled through his chest. I've already considered it. Frequently. In that case, would you hurry up and do it? Demanding, aren't you? But without warning, he thrust his hips. The thick jut of his erection nudged her clit so beautifully that even with all of the clothes separating them, pleasure ripped through her. She was gasping, her sight unfocused, her body already reaching a tipping point. That easily? Oh, God. Baby, Red murmured with a smile in his voice. You should have told me you were desperate. She gritted her teeth. Shut up. You sure that's what you want? His lips brushed her ear, the glide of skin on skin, hot and sensual. You seem to come much faster when I remind you of how bad you want it. Red! Chloe, will you take your hair down for me? Even though it would wind up a mess in the morning?
Yes, whatever, just...
I know, just hurry up and fuck you. Come here.
He rose up on his knees, and she felt so suddenly cold and alone, she actually whined out loud. But then he pulled her up into a sitting position and said,
hair.
Her hands rose obediently to undo her braid, but they froze when he yanked off his hoodie and t-shirt, her mind skittering to a stop at the sight of his bare torso. In the low, warm light, his fair skin was burnished pale gold. Shadows played over the lean lines of his body, the ridges of muscle. He flashed her that confident smile as he removed the rest of his clothes.
Now, Chloe, I know you're wearing 20,000 layers of clothing, and I'm pretty eager to get it all off, so if you could...
Okay,
she blurted out, because when he spoke his hands stopped moving, which meant that the fabric covering his body stayed in place, which meant that she still couldn't see his cock. And she really, really wanted to see his cock. Now, immediately, for what she abruptly realized would be the very first time. She unraveled her braid with suddenly rapid fingers, then started dragging her hoodie over her head. Next was her t-shirt, her undervest, her sports bra. God, that was a nightmare. Holy shit, Red was naked. She'd been yanking off her clothes, putting her glasses away and cataloguing everything she had to remove, and then she looked up and there he was, just fucking naked. And glorious. Her mouth practically watered as her gaze dipped lower, taking in all of him, blurry as he was. His thighs were thick and muscular and dusted with fine golden hair, and as a definite leg girl, she'd usually take her time enjoying them, except she could barely spare them a glance when his dick was right there, curving proudly up against his taut stomach. It was rigid, heavy, the swollen head flushed and glistening. She reached for it as if hypnotized, but he caught her wrist, holding her off with ease. His voice more urgent than she'd ever heard it, he gritted out,
you, clothes, off.
Then he grabbed the waistband of her tracksuit bottoms, the leggings underneath, and her underwear, all in one go. How had he managed that? Was he a witch? The question flew out of her head when he pulled, easing the clinging layers of fabric off her. In the name of teamwork, she dealt with the vest she was still wearing, then started wrestling with her sports bra, which unfortunately was not the most graceful thing she'd ever done. But Red didn't seem to mind, possibly because it involved a lot of jiggling and bouncing around. In fact, by the time she yanked the bra off over her head, his laboured breaths sounded more like growls, and his eyes were glued to her like a tongue to treacle. He dragged the last of her clothes off of her ankles, and then they were just two people sitting in a tiny, pillow-strewn, fairy-lit tent, staring at each other's naked bodies. She liked what she saw. He liked what he saw, too. She knew, because she could see the frantic rise and fall of his chest, and because his high cheekbones were stained scarlet. His eyebrows were drawn in a fierce expression that sent a spiral of jittery desire through her nerve endings. He wrapped one big hand around the base of his dick and squeezed. Chloe.
Yes?
I have this idea. I think. Just hear me out, yeah? I think that you should maybe consider being naked all the time. I mean, just always. Think about it. Okay.
I will,
she said. And then, just to see what would happen, she ran her fingertips over her own chest, circling her nipples.
Oh, definitely.
She never managed to finish that sentence, because when she touched herself, it was as if something in Red snapped. He lunged for her, but when he pushed her back onto the cushions, he was gentle despite the wound-up tension she could feel vibrating through his body. And then his mouth was all over her, sucking at her breasts, licking at her throat, while his fingers went straight to her wet, aching pussy. He moaned when he felt how slick she was, the sound muffled against her breast. And he shoved those wonderfully thick fingers inside her, and she let out a moan of her own, a sharp, broken thing that was closer to a scream. Oh, my God, Chloe. He said it again and again, rasping out her name as he rubbed her swollen, sensitive depths. Oh, my fucking God, you feel so good. Fuck, I can't wait to be inside you.
Hurry up, then,
she gasped, her hips jerking as he stroked that secret spot in her. The one that scattered stars across her vision and made her feel more limp and languorous with pleasure than any drug.
Oh, please, just hurry up.
I want you to come first.
Oh, for...
He kissed her again, softly, until she released her lower lip from the cage of her teeth. And then he kissed her harder, hotter, wetter, his tongue thrusting in a bold, steady way that made her breathless. When his fingers started moving inside her again, they matched the rhythm of his tongue, fucking her in that deep, consuming, almost obscene way that drove her so damn wild. He broke the kiss, even as his thumb nudged her clit. When she moaned and arched into him, her body demanding more, he smiled. Relax. We have all night.
Oh, okay.
She gasped out, her voice shaking. Her whole body was shaking, in fact, vibrating as coils of energy lashed around her, holding her hostage, driving her toward what felt like an explosion.
Sounds good.
He laughed darkly. Yeah, baby. Sounds good. Good like these little moans you're giving me. He kissed her again, quick and hard and so hot she felt seared down to her soul. The thumb that had brushed her clit so delicately touched her again, firmer now. Deliciously so. He circled the swollen bud, and her whole body jerked as if electrocuted. So he did it again and again, even when she dug her nails into the curve of his ass, even when her breathy sighs turned into something like sobs, even when she sank her teeth into his shoulder because she was just so fucking beside herself, didn't know what to do with all this swirling, swelling, pent-up sensation, he didn't stop. He didn't even falter. Instead, he told her she was gorgeous, falling apart for him, and that her pussy was gonna kill him, and that she was so wet he could feel it dripping into his palm, and that he could do this forever just to feel her shaking under him. And then she came so hard she couldn't hear him anymore, couldn't see him anymore, for a moment couldn't even feel him anymore, but God, she still knew he was there. By the time Chloe's eyes opened and refocused on him, Red was about 10 seconds and one touch away from coming. How could he not be? Jesus, just the sound she made were enough to push him over the edge. He'd regret bringing all these damn lights if they hadn't made her so happy, because seeing her laid out naked in front of him was doing absolutely zero for his stamina. She was gorgeous. She was just fucking gorgeous. The midnight storm of her thick, wavy hair spread around her face like a halo. Her naked skin looked so vulnerable in the low light, completely bare to him for the first time, and so delicate. She was soft, soft all over. From the gentle weight of her full breasts to the lush roundness of her belly to the sheer decadence of her hips, her thighs, her fuck. He dug his short nails into the palms of his hand and dragged his gaze away from the plump, pouting lips of her cunt, but it didn't help. Without permission, his fingers rose to his lips and he sucked off her honey, groaning at the taste, so fucking good, even better than he remembered.
"Oh, gosh," she said suddenly. She sounded worried. Why the fuck did she sound worried? I bit you.
He smiled and bent to kiss her little frown, his shoulder still stinging from her teeth. I liked it.
Really? Well, that's okay then, but still, I should have asked.
You were busy. He kissed her again. Busy coming on my fingers. But now you know. I like it.
She gave him an impish smile. Well, Red, you made me come, so if you're a man of your word, you will now fuck me into oblivion.
He almost choked on his own tongue. The pressure building at the base of his spine got even worse. Into oblivion, huh?
That's what I said. Get on with it.
Well, that was him told. He found the strip of condoms he'd packed, ripped one open, managed to roll it on with gritted teeth. Maybe she would have done it for him, and maybe that would have been hot as hell. But since he wanted to actually get inside her before he went off like a gunshot, he needed to keep touching to a minimum. Of course, as soon as he thought that, she grabbed his hair and dragged him down, pressing all her soft, lush curves against his body. Her skin was hot. Damp from the exertion of her orgasm. Her pussy was wet and open, ready for him, begging for him as she spread her legs and reached down to grasp his erection. In his ear she whispered, "Heart, please."
Oh, holy fucking fuck. Chloe.
I mean it.
She squeezed him, then positioned his shaft at her entrance. His eyes rolled back into his head. He felt as if he'd been burned in the best way, branded Jesus. He grunted something that barely sounded human, and thrust, the need uncontrollable, his body reduced to its most basic instincts. She was so slick. She took him all at once, releasing a low moan that sent shivers through his body. When he was buried inside her, he held still for a moment. Sucking down air because he felt almost dizzy with pleasure, running his hands over her thighs because he couldn't quite believe that he had her. He had Chloe Sophia Brown, and she was fucking glorious. She rolled her hips beneath him, and he gasped out her name. She bit him again at the base of his throat this time, and he almost came on the spot. Then she slid her fingers into his hair and dragged him down for a kiss that stripped him to the bone, that destroyed him from the inside out, her sweet little tongue tasting him with shameless greed, her lush mouth frantic. And she whispered, "Please." He grasped her soft hips, buried his face against her shoulder and fucked her. Each thrust was slow, hard, deliberate. Ringing gasps and then whimpers and then long rolling moans from her. He gritted his teeth as his orgasm came barreling at him like a freight train. It would be so fucking good, but he didn't want this to end. It couldn't end. Being inside her was undoing him, taking him apart and putting him back together differently, better, more himself than he'd ever been before. So he forced himself to hold off and gave her what she wanted, what she begged for. More of his dick. More of him. But when she came again, shuddering beneath him, her hot pussy fluttering around him, he couldn't stop his release. With a growl, he thrust wildly once, twice, and then everything around him shattered until it was all just colours and light. Colours and light. Neither of them moved for a good long while. But eventually he had to get up. Had to do something with the condom. Luckily, he'd planned for that too. When he'd finished and was relatively cleaned up, he lay back down beside her and gathered her against him, pressing a kiss to her head. "Would you do something for me?" he asked. She said, her voice sleepy, "I would do anything for you." The words struck him like an arrow to the chest, like she'd just loved him out loud. Like she wanted him the way he wanted her, completely and impossibly and with ill-advised devotion. Happiness bloomed inside him like a garden. He held her tighter and continued, "If you can't sleep tonight, I want you to wake me up. Okay?" She didn't reply. She was already asleep. Red packed up the next day with a silly smile on his face, one he was happy to see reflected on Chloe's. Those smiles somehow remained throughout the day, despite Chloe's morning joint pain and the argument they had over which road was the A46 on the way home. Her sense of direction, or lack of, was the ninth wonder of the world, after King Kong. He understood now why she rarely used her car. "You really do need me around," he said with barely hidden satisfaction. His urge to be useful fulfilled. "For camping and map reading and all that shit." "I don't need you around," she said pertly. "Not for directions and not even for the list, as I've come to realise." But then her gaze flitted to his and her lips tilted a little. "I just really, really want you around." His grin was a mile wide. They got home at lunchtime, and he knew he was supposed to go to his own flat and give her space and all that crap. But she was a bit wobbly and sleepy-eyed. He wanted to feed her and put her to bed, so he bullied his way into her flat. He cooked. He made her eat. He supervised her shower much more closely than usual and found another use for the cute little plastic seat she had in there. But eventually, finally, the heady mix of love and lust that was powering his cock left the greatest battery on earth calmed down, and Chloe's energy levels dipped at around the same time. So they found themselves back in bed, still slightly damp, in a cocoon of warm, naked skin and pounding hearts and soft, searching mouths, and he thought he'd never felt so purely, completely good in his whole damn life. She trailed a finger over his chest and pressed a kiss to his heart. "I rather like you, Redford." He tried to turn his grin into a groan. "No one says my full name as much as you do, you know. You throw it around like rice at a wedding."
"Wedding's on the mind, hm?"
she asked in that familiar mocking tone. "Clearly, I am excellent in bed." Usually, he'd snicker and shoot something back and they'd snipe at each other for a while. But the truth was, he did have weddings on the mind. If that meant that he absolutely planned to marry her ass at some point in the not-too-distant future. And the fact that he even knew that made him feel so weirdly vulnerable, all he could do was mutter something vaguely belligerent and curse his heating skin. She pulled back, looking delighted, and also ready to rib him until the day they died.
"Red, you're blushing. Why are you blushing? Oh, do tell me."
"Shut up, woman." He sat up and kissed her pretty mouth quiet, and she leaned into him with a sweet little hum. Then came a knock at the door that had them both jumping out of their skin, their bare skin, which was a problem because a second later, they heard the rattle of a key in the lock.
"Ack!"
Chloe yelped and leapt off the bed with an agility he had literally never, ever seen from her. She winced at the movement. He didn't care what she said or what fancy medicine patches she put on. She was definitely hurting after yesterday. then grabbed frantically for some clothes.
Who is it?
He whispered, sitting up and looking around for, oh, hell. His dirty clothes were stuffed in Chloe's washing machine, which he seemed to use as a wash basket. His bags were in the living room, which he couldn't get to without running through the hall, balls swaying in the breeze for whoever just came in to see. Looked like he was stuck in here with his own bare backside and Chloe's several thousand notebooks. Maybe he could use those to cover his junk if anyone burst into the room.
Or you could use the fucking sheets, genius.
Oh, yeah. Chloe's panic was catching.
I don't know who it is,
she told him, hopping around as she stabbed her legs into a pair of pyjama pants.
But the options are either my parents,
crap,
or my sisters.
Fingers crossed for that option. This wasn't quite how he wanted to meet Chloe's mum and dad. Ideally, he'd be, at a bare minimum, clothed for that introduction.
Chloe!
A cheery voice hollered from the hallway.
It's us! Hope you're not dead!
Everything about Chloe relaxed as she shoved on a pyjama top.
Eve,
she said with obvious relief,
and...
I know you're not dead,
called another eerily similar voice. He realised with a jolt that all three of the sisters sounded almost identical. He'd never noticed before.
I'd feel it if you died, darling, which means you're ignoring us, you bitch.
And Danny,
Chloe finished rolling her eyes. But then she looked a little shamefaced.
Gosh, I was so distracted preparing for our, trip. I haven't texted them in 2 days. Maybe three?
She frowned, grabbed her glasses from the bedside table and told him,
I won't be a moment.
But then she hesitated, turned back to face him, bit her lip. Raising her voice, she called to her sisters,
I'm fine. Just give me a minute.
And then to Red, she whispered,
Would you like to come?
He looked down at himself.
I'm naked.
Oh, yes,
she blinked.
But thanks, love. Really.
He knew what she was doing. The last time she'd tried to ignore his existence in front of a family member, he may have been mildly offended. But this was different. He already knew Chloe would hate to even hint at the fact that she now had a sex life, no matter who it was with.
All right, she said softly. In that case, stay quiet.
Before he could reply, she hurried out, pulling the door almost shut behind her. Because he realised with a quiet laugh, his awkward, uptight button was going to try and keep his presence a secret. Even though his shit was lying all over her flat for anyone to see. She was adorable. Shaking his head, he got out of bed and stretched his tired muscles. He was just wondering how to occupy himself in the bedroom of a woman who regularly used phrases like sleep hygiene when a voice drifted in from the hall. Even though it was technically indistinguishable from Chloe's, he knew it didn't belong to her. If he had to guess, he'd say it was Danny.
Isn't a particularly believable explanation, sister mine. I do believe you're up to something.
She managed to make the phrase as darkly ominous as Professor Snape.
What could I possibly be up to?
Chloe asked, sounding almost bored but not quite pulling it off. The fact that she was even trying made a laugh bubble up in his throat. A third voice piped up.
I really couldn't say, but I will point out that it's catatonically impossible to believe.
Categorically, darling,
that you went camping alone, not even because of your fibro. We simply weren't made for the outdoors, and you don't look traumatised enough to have spent the night in a tent.
Chloe replied with a thread of fondness in her voice that wrapped around him like silk.
It was a very, very nice tent, a wonderful tent. I will be leaving a 5-star review online.
Oh, he bet she would.
Someone
murmured. He couldn't tell who, and then...
Do the tent's wonderful qualities have anything to do with the massive pair of men's boots by your front door? Oh, those are... I'm sorry, I don't see...
He cracked a grin as Chloe sputtered.
I knew it!
Someone cried.
You... Be quiet, he'll hear you. He's here! Shut up!
The conversation dissolved into a chorus of whisper shrieks. He tried not to eavesdrop, but the walls were bloody thin and Chloe's voice was impossible to ignore. Still, he tried. But then he heard a murmur, sharp with amusement, that shattered all his good intentions.
Maybe I'll owe you £50 after all, Evie Bean,
Meaningless sex and camping were the two items I didn't think she'd managed to cross off.
Red frowned. Meaningless sex? That wasn't on the list. Then, slow as the blood draining from his face, he remembered. The list he'd seen was incomplete, but clearly Chloe had shown her sisters the real thing. A strange ringing sound filled his ears. His stomach tightened, as if a pound of lead suddenly lined his gut. Was he... Did Chloe... No, he wasn't going to assume the worst based on an overheard throwaway comment. How could he? Chloe wasn't like that. He loved her. And she might not love him yet, but she couldn't treat him the way she did, couldn't be so sweet, if she secretly saw him as... nothing. No one. That's who you are. Panic crept over Red's skin, slimy and cold. He dragged a hand roughly through his hair, searched for an anchor, and found one. The sticky note he'd left Chloe on Friday morning, now taped to her desk. Taped? Like she loved it? Like it was there to stay? He focused on that sight as he grabbed his crawling, anxious memories by the throat. He wasn't nothing, not to Chloe or anyone else who mattered, and definitely not to himself. And then, as if to back him up, he heard her voice.
Meaningless sex is off the list. You mean you changed it?
I did. His exhale was a rush of dizzy relief. He sagged against the bed as his numb limbs tangled back to life.
I think that should affect the terms of the bet. She's making it easier for herself.
Chloe snorted.
I am not. Fewer items is easier. I replaced it,
Chloe said hotly.
I put red on there.
Something strange happened then. His organs just up and rearranged themselves, shifted around like they were trying to make room at a full table. His heart was in his stomach. His stomach was lodged in his throat. His skin was tight like it wanted to turn inside out. His eyes burned, his limbs went numb again, the ringing sound was back. His right hand ached. He couldn't breathe. That was a bad fucking sign, wasn't it? He forced himself to inhale, gulping down air, but he barely felt it in his lungs and his head was light. The kaleidoscope of colour that had surrounded him since last night leached away until his world was grey. He was panicking, and he needed to stop, but he couldn't. Fucking breathe. He clutched the bedsheets to remind himself of where he was, but all he felt was naked and ridiculous and fooled a fucking again. Can't be what it sounds like, he murmured to himself, because his brain was rebelling, but his mouth was still his. Then his mind showed him a memory, like a convenient flashback in a badly made film. That first ride on his bike with Chloe, back when she'd mentioned her plan to get a life, and he'd assumed it was some kind of bad girl bucket list, that she was chasing a thrill and trying to slum it, the same way Pippa would. Only Chloe was nothing like Pippa. Nothing like Pippa. There was no way she'd use him just to feel alive again, no way she'd see him as an item to cross off a list, or a specimen to study through a window? Fuck.
Chapter 21. After far too long, Chloe's sisters took pity on her and left her to her obvious sex fest. Her cheeks were still burning when she finally returned to the bedroom.
Sorry about that, she said.
They... Red, are you okay?
He didn't look okay.
He was sitting on the edge of her bed, his fingers white-knuckling the sheets, his chest heaving with each breath. His eyes were flat and lifeless.
He stared at the plain grey carpet with a focus so intense, she wondered if he could see things she didn't. That focus didn't waver when he replied, his voice rough and uneven.
Yeah.
The single word wrenched at something deep in her chest. He sounded... wrong. Wrong, wrong.
Are you sure you seem...
He stood, sharper than a knife.
I need some clothes.
Anxiety churned in Chloe's gut. Her skin prickled hot and cold all over. Something was going on and she needed to find out what, but she couldn't ask right now, not when he strode to the living room as if it was an effort not to run. He was upset. And he wanted to get dressed so they could discuss the problem like reasonable adults. That was all. Obviously, that was all. She told herself that, to stave off the old, terrifying panic that rose as he dragged on his clothes. His movements were jerky and desperate and frantic, as if he couldn't wait to leave. No, she corrected herself, as if he couldn't wait to have a lovely, mature conversation with her. But when he was dressed, he picked up his bags. Her heart lurched. Just like the night they'd bumped into Aunt Mary, he seemed to be surrounded by invisible spikes warding off all tenderness with the set of his shoulders and the muscles ticking at his jaw. But she didn't care. She reached for him anyway. Red. He jerked away from her outstretched hand as if she was toxic. They stood in silence for a moment, wide-eyed and tense, soaking in the aftermath of that near-automatic rejection. Then he blinked hard, seemed to pull himself together. Avoiding her gaze, he bit out, "Is it true? Am I on your list?"
Oh, God. He'd heard. That's what this was about.
Mortification hit her like a bullet, ripping through flesh and blood and bone to decimate her composure. He knew how much the list meant to her. Maybe he thought she was pathetic and clingy and all the other things Henry had called her before he'd left. But that didn't sound right. That didn't sound like Red. So what could be the problem?
"Chloe," he said, tightly leashed anger singeing his words, "answer me."
She might be confused, but she wasn't going to lie.
"Yes."
His face shut down like his power had been cut. Suddenly, he was a cold, distant stranger, and she didn't understand.
"Why are you so upset?"
Just like that, he wasn't blank anymore. A sort of horrified rage filled him, clear in the flat blade of his mouth and his empty gaze. It even brimmed from his voice. "Are you seriously doing this?" he asked. "What, are you trying to say I'm overreacting?"
"No," she said immediately. "Absolutely not."
Her mind raced. Things were becoming clearer, but she didn't know how to fix this tangle sensitively. So she went with plain facts. Obviously, he thought his presence on the list meant something awful. She could explain otherwise. She just had to be patient.
"Just calm down, okay? Being on the list isn't a bad thing."
Disbelief joined his fury, like kerosene to a flame. He spoke rapidly, his whole body shaking.
"Calm down. It's not a bad thing. I'm not an idiot, Chloe. This whole time I was, and you were just using me for your fucking ticking boxes and laughing with your sisters about...
I would never do that, and you know it,"
she snapped, panic sharpening her breaths.
"Red, listen to me. I put you on the list because you're important."
He dragged his hands through his hair so hard she knew it must have hurt.
"Important? Like doing something bad?"
he rasped, his tone harsh and mocking.
"Didn't you use me for that too? And I thought it was fucking cute."
She stiffened.
"You don't understand."
His shout was ragged, ripped from his chest, a mix of anger and pain that burned her like acid.
"Don't tell me I don't fucking understand. You will not make a fool out of me."
A strained silence fell. He looked as shocked by his outburst as she felt. But the hollow emptiness between them birthed a desperate idea. She couldn't make him trust her. Not when he was so obviously spiraling, but she could show him the truth. If only he'd give her a chance, she'd find proof, find the list, and he'd come back to her and stop shaking, stop shouting, stop looking at her like she was someone else. She'd never wanted to strangle anyone as much as she wanted to strangle a stranger named Pippa right now.
"Just wait," she said. "I'll show you."
She bent over the coffee table, rifling through rubble and paper and countless notebooks, searching for the notebook, the one that would fix everything. He heaved out a breath, made a sound like cracking glass that might have been a laugh, a broken, broken laugh.
"Yeah, I bet. You'll search for some kind of evidence that'll prove you aren't a manipulative, lying user. Only you won't be able to find it, but oh shit, if only you could, right?"
He didn't sound angry anymore. He sounded tired. Bone-deep dog tired.
"Just stop, Chloe. You got me. It's done. So tick me off the list and I'll pretend I never fucking met you. Good riddance."
He turned and strode out of the room.
"No, no, no!"
She stood for a moment, stricken, unable to speak or think properly or even take a decent breath. Those words whipped at her heart and carved deeper lacerations than they should. She tried to remind herself that it was all a misunderstanding, that this was what Danny would call him being triggered. But her demons howled louder.
He's leaving you.
Once upon a time, Chloe had promised herself that she would never chase anyone who wanted to leave. She would never allow abandonment, desperation, love to make a fool of her. But her feet moved without permission, slowly at first, then faster, until she was stumbling over stray boxes and leaning against the walls for balance, righting herself with vicious determination. By the time she caught him, he was standing in the open doorway, his back to her, on the threshold. Wasn't this always how it ended? But he didn't move. He didn't take the last step. His muscles were tense as if frozen. He seemed to vibrate with something that might have been rage or regret or indecision. Hope flared inside her, sharp and dangerous and impossible to resist.
Trust me, just trust me.
He didn't turn around. I don't think I can. She clamped her molars together so hard, she swore she heard one crack. A lump of painful pride, acid and sawdust and heavy concrete formed at the back of her throat. Chloe tried to swallow it and failed. She tried to believe he wouldn't do this, wouldn't walk out on her just like that, wouldn't refuse to hear her out for even a second, and failed. When she spoke again, her voice was panicked and fearful, and she hated herself for it. No, no, she hated him for it. Hated him for proving her every anxiety right. Surely he wouldn't prove them right.
Red, don't.
Silence. Silence that burned.
If you can leave this.